It's WrestlePod, the Troopany Show, with your host, James Troopany.
Hello and welcome to the Troopany Show. My name is James Troopany and this is my show, and that introduction was far too cheerful for this week, but there you go. Today we're talking Power Struggle from New Japan Pro Wrestling, and my guests to discuss this momentous occasion and a very enjoyable pay-per-view are Miss Chelsea Spolin of ShowsUp.net. How are you, Chelsea?
I'm doing pretty well. How are you?
I'm all right. Thank you very much. I also have Mr. Alex Watt. How are you, sir?
Hello. Yeah, I'm good. Funny that we were ranting so much about politics before we came on. Now it's like wrestling. Yay.
Yes.
Yay, wrestling.
Yeah,
don't think about the bad things.
We probably will mention it, let's be honest, but there you go. We also have joining us is Mr. Alex Edwards, sir. How are you?
Hello. Yeah, I mean, I came into a conversation where everyone was a bit down and now everyone suddenly switched as we hit record. It's a bit weird.
It's all an act, folks. This is
when that light goes on, you've got to be ready.
We're all live performers. That's the deal now. Yeah, this is it.
WrestlePlus.com is the brand new home of incredible online wrestling content, featuring uncensored shoot interview classics, full series of WrestleTalk TV and British Wrestling Weekly, exclusive documentaries, British wrestling's biggest names before they were stars, an incredible podcast collection, up to 90% off merchandise offers, and the brand new Power Slammed e-magazine forwarded by Finn Martin himself. WrestlePlus has thousands of hours of content with new and exclusive releases added regularly. You can join today for the stupidly low price of just £4.99 a month. WrestlePlus, because this is wrestling.
Okay then, well, we're talking about New Japan Power Struggle, which I believe was from Osaka. Yes, it was. The Edeon Arena in Osaka. 5,050 attendance, pretty good attendance, sellout show, I understand as well. What was your overall impressions of this show, Alex Watt?
Oh, starting with me.
Hello. Oh, mixing it up.
Yeah, I thought it was really good. We'll chat, obviously, about like the matches individually, but as an overall show, I thought it was very strong, besides one match, which I think my opinion might be controversial on, but we'll get to that.
Okay. Mr. Edwards, what did you think?
Yeah, I think I'd have to agree. I thought it was a good show overall. I'm not sure it was quite as good as King of Pro Wrestling last month, because that main event last month was just something else.
Mm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But no, overall, there wasn't really much to complain about on this show, except for, like Alex said, there's one match that I had a bit of an issue with. So we'll see if we both line up on that.
Okay, and Chelsea, what did you think of this show?
So I really enjoyed it. I felt like there were a lot of matches that were meant to be fun, but that didn't really have a ton in the way of story. And there's nothing wrong with that. Like, sometimes that's really good in wrestling. It's refreshing. Not everything has to be super serious all the time. But it wasn't what I was expecting, I guess, because a lot of the New Japan Pro specials I've watched before this were very, very intent on moving the story forward.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think that's pretty agreeable, really. Yeah, this is kind of a holding station show, kind of, and is placed in such a way because not a lot can happen on this show because the main events have already been decided.
It's their off season, right?
Yeah, really. Yeah.
I think it obviously set the ground for Wrestle Kingdom as well, though, but that was mainly like, it was almost like wrapping up something, so it's like, right, here's the next stuff that's going to happen at the big show.
Yeah, so
it was a teaser.
It was, that's it, yeah. It's just whetting your appetite for January 4th and the bits in between that we have to do because we can't get to January 4th quick enough.
This big tournament that's just right there in the middle that we've got to sort of figure out.
We might not go full in-depth coverage on the World Tag League this year because we just won't have the time because it's Christmas and we have to see family and friends.
It's all right, Christmas Day recording, it'll be great.
That's not going to happen. I might get kicked out of my own house. Anyway, let's move on to the match show. First of all, we had Hiroshi Tanahashi, Juice Robinson, Satoshi Kojima. They defeated Manam Nubi Nakanishi, Teriyaki Kanematsu, and Yuji Nagata in a six-man tag team dark match, which we didn't see because it was a dark match. And then the opener of the pay-per-view segment was David Finlay, Jushin Thunder Liger, Ricochet and Tiger Mask defeating Angel De Oro, Fuego, Ryosuke Takeuchi and Titan from CMLL. There was obviously a bit of a show to match to get the CMLL guys over for the Fantastica Mania for tour in January, which takes up a lot of New Japan time. We've never really looked at Fantastica Mania, and we probably should do a bit more in-depth when we get to it, but we'll wait till the end of January for that. This match was a bit of fun. Get some guys over. It was all right. Alex Edwards, any thoughts on this one?
Yeah, no, I thought it was a pretty fun opening match. It was interesting to see so many styles sort of thrown together in one match, where you have the sort of Japanese junior style, you have the lucha, you've got the ground base sort of European stuff, you've got the flippy sort of American indie stuff all together, all clashing in one match. It was really interesting to see. And I thought it came out really well. Like you said, it was just a bit of fun.
Yeah.
And I still really like Finlay and Ricochet as a team.
They are awesome.
And that sort of ending sequence where it was like the rolling Samoan drop shooting star combo.
Yeah.
Was really,
so
really nice.
Good.
Yeah. I think this kind of goes back to the classic tag teams of the 80s in the WWE, like the Hart Foundation and the British Bulldogs. You have one guy who does the groundwork, one guy who does the flippy stuff, and that's how it should work. And it works really well with those two, I think. It's kind of a bit of a throwback team in certain senses. Hmm. But yeah. Chelsea, what did you think of this one?
This was a lot of fun. The CMLL guys were all really impressive. Like, you could tell they really, really, really wanted the Japanese crowd to like them. And it wasn't hard to like them because they were awesome. I was a big fan of when, I think it was Angel De Oro and Ricochet did that, like, the flippy stuff where they did the handsprings and then met each other in the middle. Like, that was really cool. And the crowd seemed to get really excited about it. Like, you could hear people gasping. Yeah, I agree with the stuff you said about Ricochet and Finlay being a fun tag team. There wasn't really any story in this match, but it was enjoyable.
Definitely. It's kind of a match that Vader wouldn't like. Alex Watts.
Yeah, there's not really a whole lot I can add. Like, everyone... It's one of those where you get 5 minutes, it's like everyone gets their shit in, basically. But, you know. But yeah, I'm with you guys, like, on the Ricochet Finlay thing. I'm really enjoying it. Be interesting to see where they go with that. Obviously, yeah. They've got the six-man belts with Kojima. So I'm assuming they'll hold them and defend them at Wrestle Kingdom. But
you'd think
it'd be
so.
Interesting to see, because it looks like they're going to do a one-on-one junior heavyweight tag for the first time in years at Wrestle Kingdom,
yeah.
But that could still change. They might throw Ricochet and Finlay into that. We'll see.
Yeah, right then. Moving on, we had Bullet Club, Bone Soldier, Chase Owens, Yoshihiro Takahashi versus Togi Makabe, Tomiki Bahama, and Yoshitatsu as the Bone Soldier Yoshitatsu feud.
The epic eternal feud.
All I want is Alex Edwards to talk about Bone Soldier right
Go
now.
Go on then, Alex. No, we'll save that till the end. I'm having a hard time with this because I'm just having a hard time with it. It's all right, but I think the joke wore off in, like, you know, last month. I'm just me.
I don't get the joke. Can someone explain the joke to me?
Well, should we go to Alex Edwards then, and maybe he can explain the joke and enlighten us to how the greatness of this, because he's been entertaining us on Twitter with it all week. Go on, Alex.
All right, so... To clear it up, the joke is that Bone Soldier is crap.
We know that.
That's it.
okay.
So he was
really terrible.
He was always bad, and he was sort of the eternal jobber as Captain New Japan. And then, for whatever reason, they've just put him into Bullet Club, because why not? Everyone's in Bullet Club now. So Bone Soldier, a few weeks ago, as James just mentioned, I sort of went into our little Twitter chat and had a bit of a rant about Bone Soldier after his first match in the gimmick against Yoshitatsu in Taiwan. They had a match, and So when he comes out and you have a guy wearing a t-shirt, cargo pants, and this, like, really awkward-looking Halloween mask, and you're just like, what? Is this guy a wrestler? What's he doing here? He just looks awful. He just looks like he forgot his gear and was like, right, what have I got in my bag? That'll do. I've got to go out there. I've got to perform. And he goes out. He does nothing, really. He hits a few bad strikes and then gets, you know, in that match in Taiwan, he hit a low blow for the first DQ finish in New Japan history. and then here, he just sort of just bums around doing nothing all match. It's really bad. I don't understand what they're doing with him. And Yoshitatsu is just as bad as the sort of knockoff Triple H, which I don't know if we're going to get into it, but his partner for the World Tag League has been announced. It's Billy Gunn. Like, so we've got knockoff DX in the World Tag League.
No! Oh, God! Oh.
And we thought Trump getting elected was the worst thing to happen this week.
Oh.
So, yeah, I mean, so my overall thoughts on this match were it was painfully average. I think Chase Owens is okay. He's grown on me a bit.
I like Chase Owens. I think he's quite cool. Yeah, for a down-home indie guy from the deep south, he's really got it in Japan. He's really next. He's trying out.
Fine.
Yeah, he's good.
But everything else was just there. I mean,
yeah.
And then, you know, then it ended with Yoshitatsu being crap, getting pinned. There you go. There's the match. And the feud is apparently going to continue.
Oh, God. Alex, what did you think of this?
There's not much topping that, really, is there? What I will say, though, Bone Soldier looks ridiculous, but his t-shirts are amazing. His merchandise is amazing.
Yeah, he has really good t-shirts.
Yeah, it's not befitting of a guy who's this bad. Like, his merchandise is that good.
Well, I knew they were going to try something with him because he lost about 30 pounds this year. If you look at videos of him last year where he looks quite tubby, and he actually looks like a wrestler could actually do something now. He never does, but he actually looks like a wrestler who could do something.
One day, you never know.
I'll tell you what, the one plus in this match was that his mask didn't fall off, which is something that did happen in his debut match in Taiwan. His mask fell off in the middle of the match, and he's having struggling to get it back on. So I don't know if he's now like Velcroed it down or something, or I don't know, but it didn't come off in this match, so that was a plus.
Chelsea? Anything to add?
Sorry, I cut you off. I wrote in my notes that the girls that walked out in the weird bondage-y costumes were more interesting than the match, so that seems to be the general consensus.
Yujiro, Tokyo Pimp 30 Years had some very interesting ladies join him this time, I thought.
Some of them, like half of them seemed to be really into the gimmick and they were like, you know, having fun with the whips. And the other half of them were kind of like, why am I wearing this? I don't really know what I'm doing. I'm just going to keep walking in a straight line.
Yeah.
They were just pushed out the curtain like that. Just go and walk.
Is it the Bushy Road Secretary Pool? Does anyone fancy a job this weekend? you might need to sue us in a couple of days' time. Yeah, match 4. Gorillas of Destiny defeated Chaos. Gorillas of Destiny, Tama Tonga and Tango Rao defeated Chaos, Tomohiro Ishii and Yoshihashi in arguably the best tag match in New Japan in about 15 years. This was really good. I think a lot of rub from Yahashi and Yishii, and this one, 14 minutes and 32 seconds, this was really, really good. And if Tama Tonga and Tanga Roa can keep tangling with teams of this quality, they will have a very good reign and have got a better chance of being over come Wrestle Kingdom, because the worst thing I want for them is to walk in as champions defending against the Global League champs and they'd be dead, because that would be rubbish for them. That's not. They've tried very hard to get them over, and to be fair to them too, they've tried to very hard to get over. So this was really good stuff, my opinion. Chelsea, what did you think?
So they're the tag team, the Gorillas of Destiny. They're the tag team that I'm most like confused by. Like they're good wrestlers, but I don't feel like they're good TV stars. I don't know. I feel like if I saw them at an independent show and I was in the audience and seeing them live, I might react to them, but I usually don't very much when I watch them on TV. That said, this was definitely the best match that they've had in the time I've been watching New Japan Pro. Like they were much better than I was expecting them to be in this match. This match had like all kinds of cool counters in it that, you know, I sort of wonder how much of the crowd getting into it had to do with like Ishii and Yoshihashi. But it was still a really good showing from them. And I think I agree with what you said, that if they keep having matches with tag teams that are really, really good, they'll look better and get better by comparison.
Yeah, I think so. And what you said there is very notable, that was the knock on their dad. you know, Haku's, the knock on Haku was he's got the look, he can wrestle a streak, he's as tough as they come, he's a genuine badass, but is really bland.
Yeah.
You know, in real life, not bland at all. Was once sued by a construction team for beating them up.
wow.
Because somebody made a sexist comment in a bar and he didn't like it. There you go. But it was the knock on him as well, and I kind of agree with you. I think Tama Tonga could be a really big star, and I think, you know, he's worked the momentum he got from the G1 really, really well. But again, maybe they do need something extra to get them over. Alex, what did you think of this?
Yeah, I'm with you. Like, I think it's easily the best match Guerrillas of Destiny have had, and I think it's, like you said, probably the best heavyweight tag match in God knows how long. Like, it was so exciting. I think the fact that it was like the best Guerrillas of Destiny match says that, like, sort of shows how much being in there with Ishii, like, basically can make anyone look good, I think. Like, and that's not a knock on them, because I hope they, like, really take that momentum forward now, because they've got a cool look and everything like that, like we've discussed. And I think Tama Tonga, like, the way he moves and stuff like that, like, because he's got this really creepy way of moving in the ring.
Yeah.
Like, yeah,
which is really cool, like the way he sort of crawled out along the entrance ramp and stuff. And like, so there's something there. It's just like,
it's harnessing it, isn't it?
Exactly, yeah. So I think matches like this, and like Chelsea said, like some of the counter stuff, like there was like a really long double team sequence, and then they finished it with a double drop kick. And it was, I've not seen them work like that crisply before. Like, it shows like how much they're improving as a team as well. So it all bodes very well. And Yoshihashi's hair still looks ridiculous.
It does. It's still does. I think also, you know, there's been, you look at their last three title matches, they've got better each time, you know, with Guerrilla's Destiny. And I'd rather have those guys who have potential to get better, so long as they get there, than a tag team that's at the end of their time. So, Alex Edwards, what did you think of this? I know you're not a big Guerrillas of Destiny fan. Has that changed?
I think this was actually my favourite match on the show. I think,
oh, excellent.
Yeah. As everyone said, I think this was Guerrillas of Destiny's best match so far in New Japan. It was really, really good. There was a lot of, you know, just, they showed a lot more aggression and just sort of a lot of fast-paced action. And it just all fit together really nicely and made a really good match. And I think this is exactly what sort of the tag division needed to rehab it a little bit and get people interested again.
Mm.
I think, especially as we were talking about counters, the finish with Tama Tonga reversing Yoshihashi's Karma into a gun stun made me just jump up out of my seat. It was really, really well timed and it just looked amazing. Yeah, there was just a lot of really nice stuff in this match, which was really fun to watch. I think coming out of it, the only unfortunate thing is that it makes me want to see this match again at Wrestle Kingdom. And unfortunately, I don't think Ishii and Yoshihashi are teaming together in the tag league. So I don't think we're going to get it.
No. Mm-hmm. Maybe there will come something special from somebody from Chaos. What's the Chaos teams, by the way?
We've got Okada and Yoshihashi. And I think it's Ishii and Goto, maybe.
Okay, well, maybe we
should. So Ishii and Goto could be a good team to face them.
Yeah, I think so. That'd be really cool, actually. Yeah. Well, we'll have a look. We'll have a bit of a chat about the tag league, because that's the next big event in a couple of months' time. Well, next month, to be honest. So we'll have a chat about that at the end and look at possible scenarios. But speaking of tag team tournaments, it was the final of the Super Junior Tag Tournament. And Rapingi Vice defeated ACH and Taiji Ishimori, the Ring of Honor / Noah representatives, in a very, very good match. In 18 minutes and 49 seconds, Rapingi Vice continued to tease their breakup, but they managed to hang it together for 20 minutes to win the championship and go on to Wrestle Kingdom as the number one contenders to the titles. And I thought this was very enjoyable. Alex Edwards, what did you think of this?
Yeah, I thought this was another good match. It was interesting to see them tease the sort of dissension at the start of the match with Rapingi Vice, and then it didn't really play into the rest of the match, I guess. Yeah. Like, they started off with Beretta sort of reluctant to let Rocky start, and then it all went fine for them. And good match. And I was actually somewhat surprised to see Rapingi Vice win, because I thought this would be where the breakup would happen.
Yeah.
I guess maybe they're saving that for Wrestle Kingdom. Like, maybe they lose at Wrestle Kingdom and that's where it happens. I don't know. But yeah, good match.
Okay. Alex Watt.
Yeah, I mean, that subplot of the them teasing the breakup was really interesting, really added something to the match. I think, you know, I think everyone was surprised they didn't break up here and that they actually won the match as well. Because, I mean, I think there's like maybe some disappointment that the new team didn't go over, but I think it worked in the context of the story they're telling. Like, I think a lot of places would have hot-shotted the breakup, and if that's the plan, then, you know, extending it a little bit isn't a bad idea. Or maybe that, you know, they'll move on from it and that it's like, you know, they'll come out the other side stronger and
yeah,
well, I mean, they'll go on and win the titles at Wrestle Kingdom and that's the story they're going to tell. There's, you know, there's a couple of things they could do with it.
Yeah. I mean, one of the best tag team breakup teasers ever was the Eliminators in ECW. And over the space of a year, they got further and further and further apart. And then eventually they just went, no, we'll be all fine. And they got back together again. You know, it was an option that was always there for Paulie to break them up if he wanted to, but he didn't have to, and then realised there'd be stronger draws if he kept them together, so why bother?
The other question is, coming back to this match, is do you think ACH and Ishimori might have lost because of the whole stuff that's going on with Noah at the moment? That maybe they changed their mind.
What's the stuff that's going on with Noah?
Noah got bought out by another company that has nothing to do with New Japan whatsoever. Whereas the old owners of Noah obviously had really strong ties with New Japan Pro Wrestling. So there is a sense of, we don't know what to do, so we probably best not book any Noah guys on our shows for a while.
Yeah, which is a shame if that's what happens, because, like, obviously we've loved Marufuji. Like, you said, mentioned about the match with Okada, which was insane at King of Pro Wrestling. And, ACH and Ishimori, I thought, looked really good for the whole tag tournament, and then in this match, so be a shame if they're just gonna not show up anymore.
I wonder what will happen with that third generation feud, because that seemed like it was building to a match at Wrestle Kingdom.
Oh yeah, that was the build up for that was really interesting.
Yeah, so we'll see what happens. Just to give you the news, here we go. On November 2, 2016, it was announced that Noah had been sold to IT development company Estabee Company Limited. As a result, former All Japan president Masayuki Uchida took over as the new Noah president. Estabee officially changed its name to Noah Global Entertainment Kibushi Gaisha. Basically, the outgoing president was Akira Tayu, wasn't it? You've gone from a fairly self-contained company to something as being bigger, a part of a bigger corporation. So people are not really sure, so we'll see what happens. Chelsea, what did you think of this match? Because I haven't asked you yet.
So one of the things I wrote in my notes was, just let Roppongi Vice break up already. We know they're gonna. I liked the little teases at it. I was kind of like, are they going to go there? And then I was like, nah, they're not going to do it this match. This pay-per-view was clearly not about that. I wrote, Taiji Ishimori looks like Akira Toriyama drew him. And when he first walked out, I was kind of like, I don't really get what his thing is. And then I was like, oh, he can do really amazing aerials. That's what his thing is. The handspring into the head scissors thing was like really, really cool. And the crowd went from not caring about him to being really invested right away, which was impressive. I am going to be disappointed if we don't see him have more matches with either Beretta or Romero, because I think they had some good chemistry there. ACH is a good wrestler, and I know that from other things, but it didn't really feel like he got to have a big moment in this match. It kind of felt like he got lost in the shuffle with the other three guys. I was excited with the tease they did with the Young Bucks at the end, with the Bucks fighting Roppongi Vice. That's going to be fun. And then the last note that I had was that the trophies that they won at the end of the match looked like scepters from Sailor Moon.
Yeah, well, there you go. That's
it was the only thing I could think of when they were carrying them.
You take care of all the details, Chelsea, and that's why we like you.
I try.
There you go, yeah. Right then, we'll move on to the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Championship match. In what some considered a surprise, Kushida, in his first attempt back at Bushi, having lost the championship to him earlier in the year, defeats Bushi in 15 minutes, 11 seconds. I kind of thought they would save this for Wrestle Kingdom. I thought this was the big money match, but I'm guessing they want the ace of the division to be champion going in. What were your thoughts on this, Mr. Watt?
Yes, I would say very much the same. Like, I thought they would extend this feud to Wrestle Kingdom because, I mean, they've got such great chemistry. Like, this is a really good match again. Like, they play their roles so well. Like, Kushida's such a good babyface and Bushi's so good at being a heel. But yeah, I guess, obviously, we'll talk about what happened after the match. I think that's why they've maybe not hot-shotted this, but, you know, why it's not happening at Wrestle Kingdom, because they've obviously got other plans. But yeah, the match itself I thought was great, particularly, you know, it was obviously the revenge angle that, because Bushi had basically knackered Kushida's shoulder at the last event, so it was good to see, like, Kushida going after him, like, from the beginning. Because basically the thing that sprung to mind was when that famous Orton and Cena match at the Royal Rumble, where they'd had this big blood feud leading up to it, and they just locked up at the beginning. And it's like, whereas this, it was like Kushida went after him from the bell, like, hit a pile driver on the outside, was like, you know, they were selling the fact that they didn't like each other, which, you know, I'm always a fan of. So yeah, and obviously there was the poetic justice at the end of, like, Bushi leaving with an injured arm because of the hoverboard lot being on for so long. It's those little nuances in New Japan that make us love it.
Yeah, that's it, isn't it, really? What did you think of this, Alex Edwards?
Yeah, I think the same. I think it was a really good match where it really sort of showcased both guys' ability to play a really good babyface for Kushida and a really good heel for Bushi. And I think one of the most interesting things about it was the crowd reaction, where for the whole show they seemed really sort of pro Los Ingobernables. And at the start of the match, when Kushida jumps Bushi, the crowd were booing him. And then he slowly starts to get him back on his side until he loses his temper at one point, and he hits his big sort of baseball punch and starts like ripping Bushi's mask. And it just shows, like Alex was saying, that they're really playing up that these guys really don't like each other, and Kushida doesn't care about the rules of the match. He just wants to hurt Bushi. And that was when the crowd started telling him again. And I thought it was really nicely done. It really shows that sort of frustration with Kushida, and it shows sort of a new, more aggressive side of him, which we haven't seen too much of before, which I liked. I really liked the end of the match as well, where Kushida gets the hoverboard lock, Bushi just about almost gets to the ropes, Kushida rolls him back. And they do that another couple of times, just showing Bushi getting so close to breaking this hold, and Kushida just manages to hold on to get the win. I thought that was well done. As you both were saying, it does seem a little bit quick for Kushida to win the title back. I think, as well, I would have liked to see that at Wrestle Kingdom, but also because of what happened after the match, I think it does make some sort of sense, and I'm really excited for the match we are actually going to get.
Yeah.
Also, sorry, just to jump in. Like,
sorry, go on.
With LIJ, like, it feels like the Bushi thing is similar to the Naito thing, where it felt like they ended his title reign too soon. It's like, this is basically the hottest faction in the company. Like, they should be leaving the belts on them longer, really. That's my thinking anyway. Yeah, like, because
I get, but then part of the character of LIJ is that the company is against them and trying to screw them out of things at every turn.
True,
and so I think it does kind of work for that, where they're, every time they get something and they get a title, they're screwed out of it, and instantly it gets taken away from them, and it builds up that sort of support behind them.
Yeah, there's a level of resentment there that they need to fuel, isn't there, really, or else their characters become a bit worthless.
Yeah, fair point.
Yeah. Okay, then we had the time bomb explosion, which we've talked about before, which was going to be a big surprise, as you'd expect a time bomb to be, which was set to go off at Power Struggle, and the time bomb itself ended up being Kamitachi, who is a New Japan wrestler, a former New Japan wrestler, who's now back with the company after spending 2 years in CMLL and various learning excursions in the US. And he is going to set to be the challenger to Kushida at Wrestle Kingdom, I understand. So what do we think about that, guys? Anyone want to say anything?
Well, it wasn't who we expected it to be.
Well, no, we expected it to be Minoru Suzuki, and then it was kind of like we figured out that it couldn't be Minoru Suzuki because he was in a different building on the other side of Tokyo and was booked somewhere else. Then we thought it might be Atsushi Inita, because if there's anybody going to be involved with time bombs, it's going to be Atsushi Inita, and it wasn't him. So it came off as a slight disappointment, really.
Yeah, that was the only issue, but in terms of, like, the match itself, like, it should be very good. Like, I thought, like, once he got over the initial, oh, okay, like, you know, when he walked out, it was like, once he stared down at Kushida, it was like, right, okay, this will actually be good.
I just really like the look that Kamitachi has. I like that jacket he was wearing and stuff was really cool, and his facial expressions for this whole bit where he came out were so creepy, but so just awesome. It was really interesting to see. And just like his little mannerisms, like licking the, rather than challenging Kushida, he licks the title belt.
He licked the title. I couldn't believe it.
It's really weird, but really cool in a strange way.
The kind of thing just, like Shinsuke Nakamura would look at and go,
maybe that's
a bit much.
But yeah, I'm really excited for this match. I think it should be really, really good.
Right then, so we'll have to move on to match 7, which was Bullet Club versus Chaos. Now, we've talked a lot about 8-man tag matches not meaning anything in New Japan shows. This one meant an awful lot to everyone involved, and it was really, really good. The Bullet Club team consisted of Adam Cole,
Bebe,
Kenny Omega, Matt Jackson, Nick Jackson, and they wrestled Gedo, Hiroki Goto, Kazuchika Okada, and Will Ospreay. And this was really, really good, especially there was a cool bits of heel work and some interesting matchups you don't normally get. And Will Ospreay saying, "I got this," when he kind of did for a bit. and then he so didn't. This was a really, really good match. 14 minutes, really had time to breathe and was really, really important because of the finish. So we'll go with Chelsea first. What did you think of this one?
So the most interesting thing to me about this was the tension between Kenny Omega and Adam Cole. Omega kind of like took center screen when they were all walking out during the entrance. And then he yelled at Cole for like showing off during the match. Was like, "We have work to do. Get back to it." Like,
I thought that was great.
Oh, yeah, my God. I was just like, if those two end up grudge matching it out at some point, I won't be sorry, because that would just be so great. And then the Bucks would be torn in their loyalties to the two of them.
You got this whole thing worked out in your head, haven't you? You booked this already.
Well, I mean, it writes itself. That's the thing. Like, both of those guys have really established ties to the Young Bucks, like, on their own. And then sort of seeing two guys walk out with the Young Bucks, I was like, oh, wait. Which one of those guys is the ringleader? Like, it kind of... I don't know. I thought that was interesting. And then the fact that they played up that tension was really interesting, because Kenny Omega was the straight man in this match. And that's normally not ever his job. Like, he was very serious throughout, which was really, really interesting to me. I thought the whole match was great. I thought it was interesting that Will Ospreay did a lot, but not as much as I was expecting him to do, considering how popular he is. I wondered if maybe New Japan is responding to some of the fan speculation and criticism that maybe they're going to burn him out while he's still recuperating from an injury. And or at least, I mean, he's got like his shoulders taped up. He has for a couple of months every time he wrestles.
Yeah.
So I wonder if maybe they're trying to find a way to, you know, use him, let him get some high spots in, but then not overuse him, not set him up in like singles feuds right now. He's still kind of a part of, you know, a bigger match where he doesn't have to do a lot.
He has done some silly things this year as far as coming back from injury too early is concerned, which I wouldn't necessarily recommend, especially for somebody so young. And I think you're probably right in the sense of this will save him for later things, which would be very, very useful. Especially if, you know, you've got a feud with Kushida and Kamatachi, that leaves the pressure off him for a while and then bring him back when they need him. Alex Edwards, what did you think of this?
I really enjoyed this match. I thought it was one of the best 8-man tags we've seen in New Japan in a long time. As Chelsea was saying about Kenny Omega playing the straight man, that really made me happy, because when it started and we had Kenny Omega with the Young Bucks, I was really worried we were just going to get silly Kenny Omega just doing jokes and not taking anything seriously. And I'm not a fan of that Kenny Omega. But when he was taking the match more seriously, he, as Chelsea was saying, was the straight man to Adam Cole and the Young Bucks doing the sillier stuff. I think it really worked. And they got that stuff in there where they did like the 4-man super kicks a couple of times and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
But it was done in a way that it made sense for the match, and I thought it worked. And yeah, I thought overall the match was good. Everyone seemed to be on it. I still think Goto looks a little bit out of place as a member of Chaos, but that is what it is. And yeah, we advanced a lot of stories in this match, and it set up the main event for Wrestle Kingdom quite nicely.
Alex Watt, what did you think?
Yeah, well, I mean, in terms of the Omega being more serious, like, he has to do that, I think, because he's going to the Wrestle Kingdom main event. You know, he's going to headline the entire show, their biggest show of the year. So he's got to be serious. Obviously, like, this advanced that massively with, like, they teased Omega Okada just enough and did just enough. And obviously, Omega getting the pin on him with the One Winged Angel was, like, the obvious way to go ahead of that match, like, that he's got a pin win over him. So that was all great. And yeah, the Bullet Club shenanigans were just hilarious. Like, and it gave us the gift of Gedo Bebe, which was amazing.
That will never stop giving. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, like all that, you know, like the stuff like we've got work to do, Adam, and like the like tandem Terminator dive they did. Like,
oh, that was crowd, amazing.
The crowd are obviously so into now, like, because they were clapping along and stuff like that. So. Yeah, and the work on Gedo's beard, of course. I've just looked at my notes, which is like a massive spot in the match.
The thing is, even though that is silly stuff, the working on the beard, it actually would really hurt in real life, so it makes some sort of sense.
Yeah, it doesn't mean, like, you know, it tells the story, but also, it's just horrible heely things, isn't it? It's stuff like Jim Breeks used to do in the 70s in the UK, you know, just like stuff that you're going to see, you go, that's going to ning.
Yeah, well, it's like... similar to the books thing where they do all like the flips and then he, you know, just wanders over and rakes their back. Like,
that was always this Minoru Suzuki thing, wasn't it? Like, run at somebody in the corner, stop dead, and then just slap him in the face.
Yeah.
Although Marty Skrull says he might have invented it. We had a discussion about this on Twitter one time. But yeah, Skrull, Suzuki. Anyway, moving on. Evil. Defeated Katsuyori Shibata for the NEVER Openweight Championship in 16 minutes and 15 seconds. This was an interesting bout, and I'm guessing this is setting things up for either a new run of NEVER Openweight Championship with Evil, or it means Shibata's probably going to get the championship back at Wrestle Kingdom. I'm not really sure, because this kind of left things open. It was a very good match, though, I thought. What did you think, Mr. Ward?
Yes, I really enjoyed it. I wasn't expecting Evil to win. I was surprised. So it'd be interesting to see what this means for Shibata, whether they're just going to do the rematch at Wrestle Kingdom or if Evil gets a run with the belt. Shibata's tagging with Nagata for the tag league, I think, so they might be thinking they're going to give them the run as the team towards Wrestle Kingdom, which would be interesting as well. But yeah, in terms of this match, like, Shibata might be certifiably insane, I realised, watching this match. Like,
I think he is, yeah.
Yeah, Evil kept kicking him in the shoulder. He was like, yeah, do it again. Like, no, don't do it again. But yeah, it was just really good. Like, the stuff, obviously the work on the arm from Evil cheating, and the kind of the work around the sleeper as well, like where he was constantly escaping it in different ways, and they really built the drama with that. I don't know what people's thoughts are on Evil. Like, he basically won by cheating, whether that was the right way to go or he should have got a somewhat clean victory. I don't know. It kind of works for LIJ anyway, but
yeah, I mean,
maybe.
I was going to say, it's as dirty a victory as you get in New Japan. He still pinned him clean, but it was the interference in the lead up to it that got him the win, didn't it? So. Yeah, I think it's as clean as you're going to get for a heel in New Japan. So I didn't have that much of a problem with it. I think maybe they should stop hot potatoing that particular championship and give it some clarity for a while. That would be my only thing. I don't have a problem with Evil being champion either, don't get me wrong, but I think it's gone back and forth between a lot of people this year, and it was its strongest when Ishii and Naito had it for a very long period of time. So I kind of wish it was a bit more stable. But I don't
I mean, it'd be nice to see Evil get a run with it, just because it'd be a different feel to the division again. Obviously, like, they've gone through sort of different stages with that title, so this would be like a different type of champion, a different type of match.
Yeah.
Also, on Evil, he really needs to get a good night's sleep with those dark circles under his eyes.
Oh, God.
Alex Edwards, what did you think of this?
I really enjoyed this. So these guys are both two of my favourites in the company, and I was really looking forward to this match, and I thought it delivered. I thought it was really good. Evil winning the belt is a bit of a surprise, but, I mean, we'll see where it goes. they do have a rematch in, as we're recording this, it's in like 2 days' time in Singapore on the 15th of November. If Shibata wins that match and just gets the title back, this was a stupid decision to make. But if Evil keeps it till Wrestle Kingdom, then we'll see where it goes. There was some stuff in this match that was just really sort of, it made you cringe watching it. Like there was one bit where Shibata does the hesitation dropkick on Evil in the corner, and they show a replay in slow motion, and you can see Shibata's foot squarely hits Evil right in the center of the forehead. And it was just like, how do you take that move and then just get back up and keep going? I don't understand.
Better sterner stuff over there, obviously.
Well, yeah. as for the sort of the cheating and stuff, it's a problem that I've got with New Japan in general, where you have Evil throughout the match, he's doing that stuff with the chair, and it's right in front of the referee, and the referee doesn't care, doesn't do anything about it. Surely that, if anything's going to be a DQ, that should be a DQ. Like, as I was saying about that Bone Soldier Yoshitatsu match where it ended in a DQ after a low blow, why is a low blow a DQ, but hitting someone in the face with a steel chair isn't? It doesn't really add up. But then that's just a, that's a trend with New Japan overall. Yeah, I thought this was a good match, though. And like you were saying about Shibata just being insane, he really is. Like, these last couple of days, I've been at Revolution Pro Wrestling, a company here in the UK, and they had a couple of joint shows with New Japan. And Shibata was there. He actually won the British Heavyweight Championship from Zack Sabre Jr. And then defended it against Chris Hero the next night. Both of those matches were really sort of hard to watch when you're in person. Because he doesn't mess around taking those shots, and he really does just sit there and take them. And you see him with his shoulder taped up and stuff, and you know about like the injuries he's got. And he's still taking those shots and not batting an eye. It's really weird, but he's just, he's a hard man. That's what he is.
That's what he's got a reputation for doing. Chelsea, what did you think of this one?
So I agree with what Alex just said about the chair shot to the face. Like, that should obviously be a DQ. I was actually thinking that when I watched it, I was like, well, if they announced before the match that it has special rules or something, that, you know, that's not a disqualification, then I would have accepted it. The chair spot where Shibata had the chair around his neck and then got hit with another chair, that was some ECW stuff. Like, I screamed a little bit when I saw it, because I was genuinely a little concerned for his safety. This was a fun match, but I do have a hard time watching Shibata take those really heavy hits. And I don't know that I'm invested enough in Evil as a character to feel like he deserves to beat Shibata up like that, if that makes sense. Like, I like Shibata enough that I wanted him to win, and it was also hard to see him take a beating like that. I don't know. It was a good match, but just wasn't my favorite outcome.
I think maybe, I suppose really with the momentum and fan support, Shibata probably should have just won. It'd have been easier. And you know, but then again, you don't want the belt coming off of him at the biggest show of the year. You maybe want him to win it back. And this does give them options, and it gives the Evil chance to get over. So I suppose it's six of one, half a dozen of the other. Though the match was satisfying, it is getting uncomfortable watching Shibata take those shots. I think we can all agree on that, especially when we all know his medical history of late is not great. So, but that's the way he works, and that's the way he wants to do it. You know, it's his body and his choice, I guess. But it doesn't make for comfortable viewing at times, I guess. But a fun match nonetheless. Right then, Hiroshi Tanahashi defeated Sanada in 21 minutes and 33 seconds in an excellent match, a rematch from the G1 Climax tournament, something that's been bubbling under for a while, and this sets Tanahashi up for the Intercontinental Championship at Wrestle Kingdom. We'll go with Alex Watt first for this one. What did you reckon to this, sir?
It was a bloody great match, wasn't it? Basically, like, Tanahashi's output, we know how good he is, and like, both his matches with Sanada have basically, at a time when we've said they need to be creating more stars with Nakamura and AJ having left, like, it's that kind of stuff. Like, Sanada feels like a main eventer now because of his work with Tanahashi, because obviously he got the win in the G1, and then although he lost this match, it didn't hurt him in any way because of how strong he looked in defeat. I was watching it and I was starting to think, like, is Tanahashi actually like the best ever? Like, because it was just like, I know we speak about like Manami Toyota, Misawa, Kobashi, Shawn Michaels, people like that, but like the fact that Tanahashi is still putting on like matches of this quality at this point in his career, it's just like, how long has he been doing this for now? It's crazy.
It is, really. I mean, again, this was astounding. Sanada's really grown into this role of a lead heel. He's not the lead heel for LIJ, but he seems to be slightly apart from them as well. Mm-hmm. You know, he seems to be a man of his own destiny, and it was really, really good. And just the matches we always thought he was capable of, and now he's delivering on. Alex Edwards, what did you think of this?
I thought this was really good. I think these two match up really well. That G1 match they had was one of the best matches in the G1, which is really something to say. And I thought this match was also really, really good. It seems like whenever Sanada goes out there for a big match like this, he shows off sort of a new aspect of him as a wrestler. So we've already seen that he's got like the look, he's got the athleticism, he's got the sort of the speed and everything. And in this match, he really showed his ability to sell really well and his ability to sort of chain wrestle and transition in and out of different holes and find new ways to get into the skull end and all this sort of thing. And it was really interesting to watch him sort of almost sort of evolve in the ring as a wrestler and really show how versatile he could be. And yeah, it's really got me sort of excited to see him move up the card next year and really become sort of an established main event guy in the company.
Yeah, he's got a lot of people to play with as well. This could be a really interesting run for him, and certainly was the right thing to sign with New Japan now in this point in his career. Chelsea, what did you think of this?
I thought this was so good. I really enjoyed this match. The thing where Tanahashi got out of the dragon sleeper like five straight times in a row, I was screaming. Like, oh my God, there were so many great spots in this match. And more than that, like the dramatic storytelling was really, really good. Like you could feel there was that energy of like Tanahashi being like the frustrated veteran. Like, why can't I put this kid down? And yeah. Sanada, you know, showing off the like the youth and athleticism and like, hey, I'm younger than you, old man. I can beat you up. I really enjoyed that, and I felt like it was a really amazing performance from both of them, and it made both of them look really good. And I mean, I expect Tanahashi to make his opponents look good, but I felt like Sanada did a lot on his own to make himself really great. I was really impressed.
Yeah, I think that's the general feeling with Sanada this year, has just been very impressive. Just no one really knew that he had this in him, and he's done a cracking job of getting himself over.
I
still can't believe this is the same guy that was TNA.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a few of those in New Japan. But I swear, like, Sanada somehow gets like even more athletic every time he's out there. Like, the way he was like leaping over the top rope in this match was just like, he was going so high. It's like, has he somehow got more athletic? Also, on Tanahashi, because before we came on, we were discussing Tanahashi's hair. For some reason, this is the kind of stuff we talk about. I thought there was a disappointing lack of body in his hair for this match. I think he's going to have to really have to sort that out for Wrestle Kingdom if he's going to be, you know,
he didn't also
in the right frame of mind to challenge for that Intercontinental title, quite frankly.
He also didn't have a cornrow plait on one side of his head either, did he?
It's just such a letdown from the big man, quite frankly.
Just not putting the effort in for this match.
No, clearly he's letting the wrestling do the talking.
Yeah,
more for our pity. Anyway, we'll move on to the main event, which saw Tetsuya Naito defeat Jay Lethal for the IWGP Intercontinental Championship. Lethal's first main event in New Japan, well worth the effort. Jay put in a stellar performance. He was exceptional. Now sporting proper New Japan Army regular colours, in his Jay Lethal gear, which I thought was interesting. And it was really, really good, this match. I really enjoyed it. What are your thoughts, Alex Watt?
Well, this was the one that I said I might ruffle some feathers here. Because I forgot that there was the Bone Soldier match, which was awful. So I actually meant this match was the one that was a disappointment.
I was waiting for when it was going to happen.
Yeah. You know how much I love Naito, right?
Yes.
We joke about this all the time. Yeah. In fact, we were joking about on Twitter this very week how much I love that guy. It just felt flat to me, like the whole match. Like, I don't know if it was like the crowd didn't seem as into it as they could have done, like considering like how over Naito is now. And they were chanting his name, but like it felt like the start, the first few minutes when Lethal was showing fire and he sort of cut off Naito's time wasting and did that trio of dives and the crowd was like, yeah, and then it sort of just didn't really evolve from there, and I think they worked too slow a pace maybe. It's hard to put my finger on like why, because it was decent enough. It's just that Naito set this bar so high this year as well.
I think that's possibly it. I mean, I really enjoyed it. I thought it was really good, but you were right, the crowd didn't go with the match.
Which could as well be, you know, Jay Lethal, he's not that well known to that crowd.
No,
like
true.
He worked a bit in Japan. I know he was like a pretty late replacement for Elgin, which I think that match would have got a much bigger reaction. And it's possibly the way Lethal was introduced, where when you compare it to the way Elgin was introduced, because Elgin came in the G1 and had all these matches to get the audience to know him and to win them over.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And Lethal just sort of came in and defended the ROH title, didn't he, against Elgin. And it was just like, Here's a new guy. Here you go. Don't know anything about him, but here he is.
I actually have a question about that. I know that obviously like Ring of Honor fans know about New Japan Pro, and they may not watch New Japan Pro, but when they do like the crossover events, you know, they probably follow those, you know, follow the guys from New Japan Pro enough to know what's going on there. But do New Japan Pro wrestling fans follow Ring of Honor at all?
Not as much. I want to thought.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't think so. I think the only stuff they really know is what New Japan tells them in video packages and stuff, which isn't really much.
No, I mean, if this main event was on a Ring of Honor show, the crowd would have been into it all night long.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I never see Jay Lethal get this little of a reaction, and I was like, they must just not get what a big deal that is.
Yeah, I think they seem to. The daft thing is the CMLL wrestlers that go there always get a good response, which is bizarre.
Well,
and the Ring of Honor wrestlers, they do okay, but you have to really represent them there. You really have to put some time into getting them
there. I think that might just be the style they work, though. Like, Lucha is a style that is very easily accessible to someone who doesn't regularly watch it, because it is just impressive to see guys do all this flying stuff and everything, and it's exciting to watch, whereas the more sort of American ground-based Ring of Honor style, you sort of have to be a fan of it to really get into it.
I suppose so, and it's also very similar to the strong style that they've got anyway. It's interchangeable other wrestler who isn't Japanese.
I think Alex basically took the words out of my mouth. I thought this was a bit disappointing, really. I mean, it was an okay match. The match technically was fine, but it was just really flat. I think, as we were saying, I think the problem is that the crowd really isn't behind Jay Lethal. I think they don't really know who he is yet, or maybe they just don't really care. But I think this is the wrong match to have for this crowd, where they were really behind Naito, and Naito spent a lot of time selling. And I think the crowd were really, they really wanted to see Naito just run through this guy and move on. And that's not what they got. Lethal being in control for a lot of the match, and they just didn't care. They didn't react.
Yeah.
And that sort of really took away from the match as a whole and just made it all seem a bit flat and just a bit sort of, just there.
Fair enough. I'm still saying I liked it. Chelsea, what did you think?
So I just realized, I remembered that a friend of mine was at the Ring of Honor show that they did where the New Japan Pro guys came over last time. And I actually, it was the one, maybe it wasn't the last time they did it, but it was the one where they first introduced Adam Cole as being a member of the Bullet Club right at the end.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And Naito had a match there and the audience barely reacted to him. And my friend who was in the crowd was mad because she's like, this is Naito. How are you people? Like, do you not understand how lucky you are that he's right there? And she was really upset about it. And I wonder if Ring of Honor fans watching this might feel the same way, because it was a good match, but the crowd didn't like it and the wrestlers knew it. And I think they were both trying to find ways to get more emotion out of the crowd. You know, I don't know how much of that stuff they planned in advance, but it felt to me like I think of Naito as somebody who is so good at working the crowd. Like, he's so good at pulling emotion out of you. And it felt to me like he was really, really trying, and it just didn't totally work. I sort of wonder if they give Jay Lethal like a proper build up, if his style is workable in Japan. But I'm honestly, I don't know. I don't know if it's worth it to do that, because he's such a superstar in the US, you know. I mean, he could pretty much go wrestle for just about anybody and be a big deal, and it would take some time, I think, for Japanese fans to invested in him.
Maybe so, because you had guys in Japan that was a couple of weeks ago when we was doing the Beginners Guys of Japan, and me and Alex Edwards were talking about the Destroyer. There's a guy who never really clicked in North America, made some money but never really clicked, went to Japan, massive star. And it's happened for the last 40 years, so just the way it goes. Well, that's the show. That was the show. We did have a stare down between Tetsuya Naito and Hiroshi Tanahashi to round out the show, which indicates that Tanahashi will be challenged for the Intercontinental Championship. There is some conjecture over who will main event, as Tanahashi is in the IC Championship. rumors that are going and floating around this week that it might be a switch again like they did a couple of years ago. I'm not sure that they will.
That would be really interesting. I wonder if they'll do the fan vote again, because that story, like, as much as I want to see Omega Okada main event, that story, obviously, with Naito getting overlooked famously for the main event when he challenged Okada, 3 years ago, I want to say?
Which was the whole impetus behind the LIJ storyline.
Yeah, so that would actually be, like, a sort of amazing way to, like, end that, not end it, but, you know, like, such a great progression of the story, like, if he ended up main eventing against Tanahashi over the world championship, like,
if you've told the story of Okada being the ace, one strong ace of Japanese pro wrestling, you then can't turn around and say, yeah, but you're not good enough to main event your own company's biggest card.
Yeah, there is that, you can't really then go, but we're going to put Tanahashi in the main event again.
Sorry, Alex.
So put Tanahashi
twist on it is... I mean, the interesting twist on it is that at the Wrestling Kingdom press conference this past week, Naito said, like, in the main event, like, he said his whole motivation for this match is to just crush Tanahashi's dreams. Like, he knows Tanahashi wants the main event, and so he doesn't care about being in the main event. He just wants the heavyweight title to be in the main event, and for him to not just... because Tanahashi wouldn't be that way.
That's brilliant.
Sorry, Chelsea.
That's so great.
What were you going to say, Chelsea?
I mean, I just love Naito, and I love the way he riles people up by being like, I don't care, but I really do care, like, too much. But I'm going to try to pretend really, really, really hard that I don't care.
Right then. Well, we best have a quick roundup of this here Global World Tag League. Not global, that's Noah, sorry. The World Tag League, G1 World Tag League of New Japan Pro Wrestling, which occurs in December, from November the 18th, so it starts at the end of this week. We talk about WWE having too many pay-per-view events, but New Japan are getting to that point at this time of year, because it's like literally a major event every 2 weeks. Will finish on December the 10th. We have got Block A, Brian Breakker and Leland Race, Hangman Page and Yuji Kori Takahashi, the Tokyo Pimps, Hansen and Raymond Rowe, Hanarei and Manubi Nakanishi, old Lumpy himself, Hiroshi Tanahashi and Juice Robinson, Hiroshi Tenzan and Satoshi Kojima, Tama Tonga and Tangaroa, Tetsuya Naito and TBA. That's to be announced. There isn't a new member of LIG. Block B would be Bad Luck Fale, Bone Soldier. Bad Luck Fale and Bone Soldier. I'm open.
What's the time to be alive?
I'm open.
That
he
is
just
a weird.
Well, be
why?
Really...
would they do that?
What would be really cool is if Bone Soldier just stands on the apron through the entire tournament and Farley does all the work.
Huh. could actually happen.
I could be into that.
Yeah, yeah. Billy Gunn and Yoshi Tatsu.
Yeah.
The dream team.
The dream team. Just after we've mocked one team, then this team is also mentioned.
And they're both in the same block as well, so we're going to get the match.
Oh,
we're
going to
get
God.
Them against Bone Soldier.
Worst tag match ever. Chase Owens.
I hope Botchamania is prepared for that one, quite frankly.
Chase Owens and Kenny Omega representing Bullet Club. You got two Bullet Clubs in this block again. Evil and Sonata representing LIJ. Hiroki Goto and Tomohiro Ishii representing Chaos. Katsuri Shibata and Yuji Nagata representing Regular Army. And Kazuchika Okada and Yoshihashi representing Chaos. And Togi Makabe and Tomoyuki Honma representing GBH. So there you go. That should be an interesting tournament. I can't really see a clear winner there. I'm hoping it's not Billy Gunn and Yoshitatsu, because if they've hired him in to come to Wrestle Kingdom, I'm not going to be happy.
that would be a massive letdown.
It would.
Would they really fly Billy Gunn in just to lose everything, though? That's the thing that scares me.
Mm. Yeah, I suppose.
Block B is so strong as well. Like,
yeah.
For all the other teams that aren't those two we laughed at. all the other teams, I mean... But yeah, so who's Naito's partner going to be? That's the interesting part. And does that?
I'm hoping it's going to be like someone out of the faction in TNA that's ripping off LIJ.
Interesting.
Have you not seen this? It's CDC, which is you'll find out last night because it's on tonight's Impact. But it's basically Bram, it's Cowboy James Storm, and Eddie Kingston, and they've been coming down to the ring wearing full black suits and face masks.
Fresh.
Okay.
Why?
Clearly Billy Corgan towards the end of his run in TNA had completely run out of ideas and just switched on New Japan World and said, I can do that, but much worse.
Basically, TNA went, we've come up with one unique thing this year. Let's not do it. Let's not try with anything else.
Quite possibly. So, that'd be hilarious if it was, but it's probably not going to be. Let's be honest, contracts don't work like that. Looking at this, I can see Tama Tonga and Tanga Roa losing in the final to Goto and Ishii, and there's your tag match at Wrestle Kingdom.
Or possibly Shibata Nagata, I think, is a
that's a possibility as well.
One as well, but probably one of those two defeating.
Going to be one of the
Gorillas of Destiny. I'd probably go with that.
It isn't going to be one of the big gun teams, I don't think, because they're going to be too busy elsewhere. As much as I'd love to see Okada and Hashi against Tama Tonga and Tanga Roa at Wrestle Kingdom, that's not going to happen. So there you are.
Okada does double duty.
Yeah, that doesn't happen very often in New Japan because they want people to actually concentrate on what they're doing. Right then, well, that's the end of the Troopin' Show for this week, where we covered Power Struggle by New Japan Pro Wrestling. And next week, we'll be back with the Beginner's Guide to Japanese Pro Wrestling. We hope you've enjoyed that so far. We're on episode 6. And the previous 5 episodes are all in a playlist on SoundCloud if you want to binge listen to all of them. I separated them out into a whole little playlist for you there so you can have a listen to the whole thing. I would like to thank my guest for today, Miss Chelsea Spoller of ShouldersUp.net. Thank you very much.
Thanks for having me.
At Chelsea Comics and Shoulders_Up on Twitter. I would like to thank Alex Edwards, which is Alex_Edwards_ on Twitter. Thank you very much, sir.
Thanks for having me.
And Mr. Alex Watt, which is at AlexWatt187.
Yeah, that's the one.
Got it this time.
Thank you. Thanks for having me, Gado Baby.
Thank you very much for listening to the Troopin' Show. Please listen to the other shows on the Wrestle Talk Podcast Network, including the Finn Martin Report, which was out this weekend. That was on the posted on YouTube on Saturday. It should be on the SoundCloud soon as well. He'll be the squash tomorrow with Paul and Gavin. I hope that you enjoy those programs. Please also join us on Wrestle Plus, $4.99 a month, for some great wrestling content, including all the shows from NGW and all the Wrestle Talk. All the Wrestle Talk video content you can possibly imagine, as well as the archive of all the podcasts we have ever done. And I'm not really sure how many hours of that is, but it's a lot. More than 7. Thank you very much for listening to us, and we'll see you next week. Bye.